Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. For our first Sunday in Advent, I've chosen a sermon that was given by our Archbishop in 2017 at St. Stephen's Pro-Cathedral in Athens, Georgia. Our epistle today from St. Paul and the collect which we read throughout Advent are all filled with contrasts. They contrast works of darkness with the armor of light, this mortal life with the life immortal, great humility with glorious majesty, now with the last day, time to wake with sleep, walk honestly with rioting and drunkenness. If we take all of these contrasts together, the basic point is to call a wakefulness, alertness, and careful preparation. Some of these pairs do not refer to good and evil, but simply to this world as opposed to the world to come. This mortal life, here and now, we have choices to make, and those choices refer to the group of pairs. Darkness or light, good or evil, honesty and humility and virtue, or selfishness and sin and pride. The decisions are mostly minor and occur every day. Each little decision is a pebble, a little thing, but a little thing that when multiplied hundreds and thousands of times makes a building, a wall, a substantial structure. If we are not careful, the product of our lives might turn out to be a wall cutting us off from God, rather than a fitting habitation built on a solid foundation of faith. So again, the basic message is the need for careful preparation now in the time of this mortal life as we work with or against God to give our souls the shape they will have throughout all eternity. That is a good Advent theme, careful preparation. That is the message. But of course, most of us, most of the time, do not think very much about the ways in which our daily lives have eternal ramifications. For that reason, I have taken for my text today the event that occurs immediately before the beginning of our gospel lesson. The lesson itself, of course, is the story of Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. In St. Matthew's gospel, the last thing that our Lord does as he walks from Jericho to enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is to heal the blindness of two men. The men cry, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And we are told that Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. The pattern is clear. Human suffering or weakness or incapacity meets divine compassion and healing. What is not clear, of course, is what the healed person will do after his healing. Will he follow the Lord into the holy city and walk with him on the way of the cross? Or will he take his healing and run? Will or will not a momentary encounter with God produce lasting effects within the heart and soul of the newly healed? In our lesson, many people encounter Christ. A very great multitude, we are told, meet him and acclaim him with acts and words appropriate to the Messiah. But crowds are fickle. In the Wednesday Bible study, we have just considered the weird episode in Acts 14 where Paul and Barnabas heal a crippled man in the city of Lystra. There, the crowd decides the apostles must be gods come to earth. Paul is the talkative one, so they call him Hermes, the messenger of the gods. Barnabas evidently looked impressive, so they called him Zeus. Out comes the priest of Zeus with oxen covered with garlands to do sacrifice to these supposed gods. Of course, Paul and Barnabas put a stop to that particular impulse of the crowd, an impulse that is stupid and superstitious. One verse later, the crowd does a complete about-face and decides to try to stone Paul to death. One minute the crowd considers you a god, the next it's throwing stones. Such are crowds. But let's return to Jerusalem and today's crowd. Their acclamation is correct, and their hearts are not. Their words are right, but they know not what they mean or say. The better starting point is the blind man of a couple of verses earlier. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. What we are trying to do is to live carefully in the time of this mortal life so that we may enter into the holy city with Jesus. We seek so to live that we may enter in the gate which leads toward the heavenly kingdom of God. We begin rather blind, rather careless. We are unable to find the gate, the narrow gate along the straight way into the city of God. The first thing, of course, is to know that we are blind, that we suffer from the disability, and that we need our Lord's help to open our eyes and show us the gate. We need, in a word, mercy. Or, in another word, we need grace. We need God's free gift. We read this lesson today on the first Sunday of the new Christian year, Advent 1. We stand today at the gate into the sanctities and cycles, the seasons and the feasts, which now begin to unfold once again before us in the ancient annual round. The city in question was originally Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is a figure for God's kingdom. God's kingdom now, in the time of this mortal life, is the church and her worship and sacraments and fellowship of love. And in the life immortal, in the life of the world to come, we will discover that the church here and now is in fact an entryway which has already taken us inside the gates of God's kingdom. So come, put aside carelessness and blindness, and remember that Advent is a season of preparation and anticipation. Advent is a time to read again the ancient prophecies of a Savior to come. Advent is a time to contemplate the end of the world, the end of time, and more particularly, to contemplate the end of my own world and of my own little time here and now. My death and yours are most assuredly today one day closer than they were yesterday, and that is a fit subject for Advent consideration. Advent is a time to receive the sacraments with humble gratitude, to say our prayers, to make our confessions, to repent our sins, and to receive the blessed sacrament of the altar. Advent is not Christmas, but the path to Christmas, the way to prepare to receive the Christ child, whom we most certainly are unworthy to receive without Advent and without careful preparation of ourselves. Let us seek healing for our blindness so that we may prepare ourselves wisely and say with the people of Jerusalem long ago, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.